be able to stand here at Independence Baptist and be able to speak to you folks. Several other churches are represented as well. I pray tonight that we'll be able to be an encouragement to you in some way or another. I know that the sicknesses here at Independence, not just the flu sicknesses, but there's some that have other sicknesses that are just very serious sicknesses. And we know that when situations like that come about, we just don't know what direction to turn to in the flesh. I mean, we just don't know. And we can say, yeah, I know that God's in control, and I know that God will have His will, and we all believe this. But at the same time, when it's us being involved, it makes a little bit of difference, doesn't it? We can look at somebody else, but when it's us, that's when our faith kicks into gear, doesn't it? It kicks in high gear, if I can put it that way. And tonight I want to, some way or another, just to be an encouragement, I hope, to you. If you have your Bibles, I pray that you do. And if you don't have your Bibles, then I pray that you'll look off somebody's that does have theirs. We try to encourage our people there at Bible Baptist to always bring their Bibles, and I know all the other pastors and preachers do here as well, because we want you to follow along with us. And we want you to know that when we read a verse of Scripture or when we say something, it says, "Thus saith the Lord." And that's the key to our success, if we have any success in the Scripture and in the Lord's Word. And I think we do. If we're faithful, J. Vernon McGee, an old Presbyterian preacher, made a statement on the radio, and I didn't agree with him on everything, but I did agree with him on this statement. He said, God didn't call us to be successful. He called us to be faithful. And if we're faithful, we'll be successful. We'll be successful. And it may not be necessarily in numbers. It may not be in souls won. But the Lord don't necessarily look at things like that. He looks at our heart. And He looks at how I do things for His honor and for His glory. And we may pastor a church that runs 5, maybe 10. We may pastor a church that runs 100 or 200, whatever the case may be. The Lord wants to know what's in our heart. He wants to know where we stand ourselves. And that's faithfulness, isn't it? That's faithfulness. A few weeks ago, I heard a radio program on the radio, of course. I've heard a radio program. I guess that's where we come from, wouldn't it? A fellow that had a pro career in pro football. A fellow that had a pro career in pro football. Now, that's good. That's two in a row I've done that. But he was a running back, and I think it was for, I want to say Pittsburgh, but that don't quite sound right. Anyway, he played 4 years professional football, and he gave up that career and went into the ministry. The world said, "What? Making millions of dollars and going into making maybe enough to live on?" Tell you what, he stepped out in faith, didn't he? He stepped out in faith. But he brought this message, and it blessed my heart. And I'll give you the introduction, and he brought this story. He didn't bring the message. The Lord blessed him. We were able to come up with the message. But the beginning of his message, he talked about a fight. And a lot like boxing. I don't know if anybody else in here does or not. I like boxing. I like the punches being thrown, you know. And sometimes it gets a little bloody. I understand that. Maybe I like blood and guts, ill expression is. I don't know. But I like war movies as well. Maybe I do like that. But anyway, as long as it's not Janice throwing punches at me, okay? But anyway, the gentleman, and his first name was Hugh, I believe, but I don't remember his last name. But he brought this story about a fight that took place. And the date of this fight was in 1892, September 7th. I don't think anybody of us was around at that time. But it was a fella that The fight was between two guys, of course. One of them was, at that time, the bare-knuckle champion of the world, a fellow by the name of John L. Sullivan. And some of us may have heard of John L. I've read some things about him. And he was challenged to a fight by another fellow by the name of Jim Corbett. And Jim Corbett was a lot smaller gentleman than what John L. was. John L. weighed about 212, and Gentleman Jim was a name that he was given to him because of his culture, upbringing, and proper speech and manners and that type of thing. You know, I don't have much of that. And John L. was a fellow that we would classify today probably as a redneck. And I think Rick Capp probably fits in that category too, if you are around me very much and watch my actions and things. But John L., like I said, weighed about 212, and Gentleman Jim weighed about 100, I think 178 is what it gave on the history that I was looking at. And the difference between this fight, and the other fights that John L. had was that they wore gloves. They wore boxing gloves. Well, that was different, because John L., like I say, he was the bare-knuckle champion. But this fight was with gloves. And with Gentleman Jim being outweighed by 24, 30 pounds, somewhere around there, it was undersized about 4 inches as far as height, you would say he's got a disadvantage. And he does. He does. If we look at it in a physical sense, he had a disadvantage. Well, see, also back then there was something else. Today we hear of 4 rounds, 6 rounds, 10 rounds, 8 rounds, whatever the case may be, 15 rounds maybe at the most. Well, some of the boxing matches back then, now again, this was before 1900, they went until one of the fellas either was on the floor and couldn't get up, or he was over in his corner and they threw in the towel. And that was the end of the fight. Well, some of these lasted 75 rounds. Can you imagine? That's better. Well, let's see. I can't figure that much. My math is not too good. But this particular fight lasted 21 rounds. And when the fight began, of course, John L. was out there. He was just a slugging away, and he was beating this guy from one side to the other side, the story goes. And it sounds sometimes like we are in our Christian life, isn't it? I mean, we're just getting knocked around by the world, maybe even by our own brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we said, what in the world is going on? But you know, when this happened to Gentleman Jim, he was, like I say, he was getting punched pretty good from side to side. And he'd go back, and after about the sixth or seventh round, his corner man said, Jim, said, man, he's just tearing you apart. Throw in the towel and give up. And he made a very profound statement. And this is the title of my message tonight. Just one more round. Just one more round. How many of us in our lives, in our Christian faith, when the devil has thrown his darts, when the world has thrown its cannons, and we talk to the Lord about it, and He says, just one more round. Just one more round. Sometimes we ourselves may want to just throw in the towel and just give up and say, and the preachers, you know, man, I've had so many things happen to me, I'm going to get out of the ministry. Yeah, I've been warned about that here. Yeah, yeah. But then I stop and think, what's the Lord called me to do? I'm going to go at least one more round. One more round. Can you stand there? And if you've ever been, and I can honestly say I've never been in a fist fight, but if you're standing there, and I can imagine watching these boxing matches, and I like, kind of like, and don't be offended at me when I say this, The Ultimate Fighter. Has anybody ever seen that? Nobody here? Good. You don't need to watch it. It's blood and guts as well. But those fellas get in there, and I mean, they just go tooth and toenail, the old expression is. And they just let it all go out. Man, they just sit there and smack one another and throw one another and elbow one another and knee one another in the belly button and all this other type of stuff. And you see blood. Sometimes in the Lord's work, there have been spiritual blood drawn as well, hasn't there? There's been really some times where, I mean, we've just had blood all spiritually all over the floor because somebody has just really tore us apart. But we say, just one more round. Just one more round. Notice what it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Anyway, after the 22nd or 20th round and the 21st round started, Gentleman Jim come out there and caught John L. with a shot and put him on the ground, and he didn't get up. So after 21 rounds, he had won the fight. After 21 rounds, as we sang a while ago, the Lord's coming back, and we're going to win the fight. Amen? We're going to see. That's a great and glorious gospel. That's a great and glorious telling of what's going to happen to us when the Lord returns to get us out of this life. He's not going to come on the earth at that time. We know, we understand that. But He's going to come in the clouds. Now, thank the Lord. Verse number 7, 2 Chronicles 32, verse number 7. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid or dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. I like verse number 8. And with him is the arm of flesh. Notice, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the reading of those scriptures. I pray, Lord, as I stand here tonight, that Father, you'll give me the grace that I need to bring this message that would be an encouragement to these folks here. And I know each one of us is in some way or another or have gone through times in our life where we just didn't know what direction to turn or where to go except to look up and depend upon you. And Father, there may be situations tonight in this congregation, and we know there is with folks in this church. And Lord, we just ask your blessings upon them all. And we pray for each one of your churches that are here tonight and each one of your preachers, and we know others are saved. God, I pray tonight if there are situations in their life that they don't know where to go, just, Lord, help them to realize that they can always come to you because you fight our battles. You give us the strength. You give us the victory through Jesus. And Father, I pray tonight again you'll bless me as I stand here and I'll bring this message in a way that will bring honor and glory to you and would edify my brothers and sisters. Forgive me now my sin. And we do thank you for our Savior and His death upon that cross. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. So let me encourage you, as we try to bring this tonight, just one more round. Stay in there. Stay in there, doubled up. Get them boxing gloves ready. Hit Satan in the nose with that left hand. Hit him in the face with the right hand. Hit him in the stomach with the left. Do whatever you need to do, folks. Because he's one of the biggest that we have to fight against upon this earth. And the Bible talks about, and we're going to read here in just a minute, about the principalities and the powers and so forth and so on. But never forget that we have someone tonight who will help us, in all the situations that confronts us in our life today. And that's God. And He's there with us. The Holy Spirit's right here in our hearts tonight. Never forget that. Always remember that God in the Spirit is here with us. He's with our churches tonight. He's with those missionaries that are on the foreign field and maybe perhaps wondering what's going on with them and the situations in their life. Remember that. And pray for them and write them and email is almost everywhere in the world today. When you know somebody's having problems, send them a little message. Encourage them to keep on keeping on for the Lord. Just fight that one more round. Because as I say, one of these days, Jesus is coming in the cloud. And we're going to rise to meet Him in the air. Won't that be a glorious day? That'll be a glorious day. Open the book of Hebrews chapter 12, if you will, please. Hebrews chapter 12. We need to look, and we've already touched on this already, we need to look to the Lord for the strength in our lives, for the faithfulness, for His power behind us in our preaching and in our teaching and in our lives that we live and in our families and in our churches and in everything that we do. We need to look for the Lord's strength, for His power. Pray that God will give us that and not try on ourselves. And here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, verse 2. The Bible says, Paul writing, I believe, to the Hebrews, and it says, Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. See, we're running a marathon, aren't we? We're running a continual race, folks. It's just not a 100-yard dash. Brian, I think he used to run track in school. It's just not a short distance or things of that nature. I'll tell you, we're running an eternal marathon. From the time that we're saved until eternity, we're running. And we should be running for the Lord. And let me say this. We should not be satisfied with second. You say, what's wrong with second? Well, if we got second and let the devil beat us, then we're not running the best that we can for the Lord. Does that make sense? Huh? I used to play sports, and I used to love to play baseball and softball, and I played a little basketball. Never did run track, couldn't run that fast, but I used to play a lot of sports, and I'd always go out there and give it my best. I may not win the game, our team may not, but I'd give it my best. But I'm afraid sometimes in our lives as saved people, we get satisfied. We get satisfied. I was thinking of something, and I wrote it down on a piece of paper that I had there this morning, I believe it was, and this is what it consisted of. I'm satisfied with Jesus, but is Jesus satisfied with me? Does that make sense to y'all? I'm satisfied with Jesus, but is Jesus satisfied with me? If we're not serving Him to the best of our ability, Jesus is not satisfied with us. I'll guarantee you He's not. So we need to be faithful. You say, Brother Rick, I don't know how to do what He wants me to do. Pray to Him and give it an effort and He'll bless. He'll bless. It may not be as best as somebody else can do, but He likes the faithfulness of God's people trying to serve Him to the best of the ability that they have. And I'm a good one to talk. Used to sing a lot. I don't sing a whole lot no more. Well, why, Brother Rick? Well, I don't sing quite as good as I used to. My wife has hit me with that. That's where that left hand and that right hand have come around, you know? But the Bible tells us there again in verse number 1, Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. And that's talking about a hindrance, you see. And I'm going to talk about that here in just a little bit. And it goes on and it says, laying aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Folks, get prepared to run. Get prepared to run. And to get in condition to run. And you know how to get in condition? Yeah, man, you run up and down the road. That's not what it's talking about in this particular situation. It's talking about opening up the Word of God. It's talking about praying. It's talking about studying. It's talking about serving the Lord. It's talking about preparing ourselves. It's talking about preparing. It's talking about conditioning. And that's what it's all about. A preacher can't stand up and preach if he don't pray and don't study. I mean, if he's on the road all the time visiting, and there's nothing wrong with visiting, don't misunderstand me. That's part of it. But that's not all of it. And it's not all for the preacher to work on the building. And no offense, I know you all don't do that here at Independence Baptist Church. But there at Bible Baptist, that's about what it got to there for a long time. Brother Rick was doing all the work and then trying to study and trying to visit. It got pretty rough. And here's the thing. We need to condition ourselves. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, and I love this, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Woo! I tell you what, He's there. Bible says He's making intercession for us tonight. He's going to be there until the time the Lord says, go get your children. And when He says that, He's going to come off in the right side of God, and He's going to come in the cloud, and He's going to bring all of those dead out first, and then He's going to bring us that are alive to go out to meet Him in the air. Folks, that'll be the time when the race is finished. Oh yes! That'll be when the fight is done and the victory has been won. Isn't it great? Oh, listen. So many times we look at ourselves and, Brother Rick, I can't. I don't want to. And as we said a while ago, it ain't whether we can't or it ain't whether we don't want to. It's what the Lord wants. What the Lord wants. And that's where we fall short. We fall short. Because we look at our physical selves. What is that verse? Oh my, verse came to mind. Lord put one there. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. And you all probably know where I'm going right now. Philippians chapter 4. Verse number 13. Yeah, many of us could probably requote that, couldn't we? This is one of my favorite verses of Scripture. And like I say, the Lord put it there evidently because I didn't have it written down. But this is what it says if you don't know already. I can. I can. You know, as far as ability and everything, can't is not in God's vocabulary. Can't is not. Now, the Bible says don't do this and don't do that. Yes, we understand that. But as far as God's ability in our lives, He does not have the word can't. And you and I shouldn't either. Because the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me. Now, when old devil gets that fight going, stand up there, as I said, be ready to fight. Be ready to poke him around a little bit. Bust him in the nose. Give him that black eye. And we can't do it, folks, if we're not prepared, if we're not conditioned. Because we're going to look at ourselves for that strength if we're not conditioned, and we're going to get knocked into the baptistry, if I can use that. He's going to come with an uppercut and lift us off the ground and put us right back there in it. We need to condition ourselves and realize and believe I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me. That's the God that we serve. He's not some mediocre God. He's not limited in His power. I'll tell you what. Someone that can create the stars, moon, sun, the earth, man, animals. If He can do all of that, and I believe He did, then He can be with us and give us victory. If we stay faithful. See, if Gentleman Jim would have give up that sixth round, he would have lost the fight. If he would have give up the tenth round, he would have lost the fight. But Gentleman Jim stayed till he had the victory. He popped John L. Put him down. He didn't get up. We can do Satan the same way. I believe we can. He'll keep coming back at us. We know he will. But we can get him out of our way, or we can serve the Lord. Don't ever give up the fight, folks. Fight that one more round. Be faithful to God. Be faithful to the Lord. God will bless you for that, and God has blessed. You know, the Bible talks, well, we're there in Philippians chapter 4. You know, the Bible talks, you say, Brother, oh well, let me make this statement. Brother Rick, you say, when things are going to get bad and things get pretty rough in my life, so I just can't have any peace of heart and peace of mind. You know, people tell you that. But what does the Bible say? If we condition ourselves, you see, if we condition ourselves, you got to remember that, folks. Conditioning is a very important part of anything that we do. Preparing ourselves. It may not be the physical or the spiritual condition, just preparing ourselves. And by preparing ourselves, we're conditioning ourselves. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7. Notice what that says. If we say, Brother Rick, we can't have that strength. Notice what it says in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't that great? Oh, yes. I'm going to get into that. I was going to say something. I can see some of our black brethren. I will say it this way. I can see some of our black brethren really get into that, you know. I mean, that just to start a, you know, start getting that, you know, them services and all this type of stuff. And if it's in the heart, if it's in the leadership of the Lord, I don't have no problem with that. You know, and I can see some of that. And this was a black gentleman that was bringing this message when I heard it, or heard the topic and stuff. And I'll tell you what, that church was having a ball. I mean, they was shouting, and I don't have no problem with shouting it, so if it's of the Lord. No! Jumping over a pew, I couldn't do that. I'm afraid I'd break my leg. And no problem with that, dude. KJ's, he's having some problems there, but thank the Lord that today we can have that peace that passeth all understanding. So keep your hearts and minds, and I thank the Lord for the last two words, or last three words, through Christ Jesus. It's not through ourselves, folks. No, it's not through ourselves. I don't have no strength in myself even to walk up these steps. I don't have strength in myself even to get out of bed in the morning. I don't even have strength in myself even to wake up in the morning. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Is it making sense to y'all? Fight that one more round. Stand in there. Stand against the wiles of the devil. Let's go to Galatians chapter, or Ephesians chapter, what is it? Ephesians or Galatians? I forgot. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's talk about the battle and the armor and things of this nature that we're going to face, and then what we've got to help us through those battles. Isn't it great? See, God doesn't leave us alone. God has promised in Hebrews 13, verse 5, never to leave us, never forsake us, always to be with us. I'll tell you what, I'm glad I've got a promise like that. We've been through some things. Even when we came to Bible Baptist Church several years ago, we've been there, if the Lord allows us to stay there until November, we'll be there 7 years as our pastor. We had been there 2 years till it seemed like the ceiling started falling out or falling upon us, and things started happening. It was started from the outside. It started coming in. And then it was coming in and then went to the outside, and it's just been back and forth. It's been a continual struggle, but God has prevailed. God has blessed, and God has allowed the church to stay faithful. But here's the thing. If we hadn't prayed, if we hadn't conditioned, if we hadn't prepared ourselves, if we hadn't stayed there and fought that other round, the church would have probably folded. It's important for the conditioning of the heart. Brother Blevins was talking about New Mexico. I don't have any idea what's out there except sand. Now, but if there's no sister churches out there very close to fellowship with, it is just like the desert. I mean, you do get dry in fellowship of your brothers and sisters. And sometimes even in your church, if there's not a sweet fellowship there, you have a desert to work in, don't you? That's where you've got to condition, as I say. You've got to prepare. You've got to prepare. And probably all of us have been through something similar to that. But we've got to stay faithful. We've got to stay faithful. We've got to fight that other round. Let's look here in Ephesians chapter 6. I want to start in verse number 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, nothing new to you. I'm sure you all know this. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore," listen please, "stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Ain't no more truth, better truth than in the Scripture, folks. That's the only absolute truth right there. There ain't no other truth compared to that. "And having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." See, that preparation is there. That conditioning is there. You see, we got to prepare ourselves. We can't have it outside of Jesus Christ. We can't have that inner spiritual peace without Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That's the only way it is. "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith." And it tells us in what? What is it? Romans 14, 21 or 23, it says, "So whatever is not of faith is sin." Something to think about in it. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Let me back up. Verse 16. "And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked." That's John L.'s right and left hands coming in at you. We can quench them, folks, if we prepare ourselves. That's the condition right there. Preparation. Preparation. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance," continuation, folks, "faithfulness, and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador." And folks, listen, as I look across our crowd today, most of us are saved. Most of us are saved. And you know when it says in verse 24, "I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I speak boldly as I ought to speak." Each one of us ought to do that as ambassadors as well, because we are, as saved people, we're ambassadors of the gospel and of Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? "That therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Many times in our life we take a back seat because we don't want to embarrass ourselves or maybe embarrass somebody else. Folks, listen. We need to stand boldly. We need to stand boldly. We need to stand faithfully and do as God has told us to do, not do as what we think in ourselves we ought to do. I think of Charles Spurgeon as he stood back many years ago and preached. I think of men like Jonathan Edwards, and Jonathan Edwards was not a Baptist. I understand that. But he preached, folks. He preached faithfully. A guy by the name of George Whitefield was another fellow that stood and preached boldly. And these are folks that believed in the doctrines of grace, such as you and I. They didn't let the free willism destroy them. They went and preached. They preached the gospel and let God take care of the rest. And that's what you and I should do as well. We've had some conversations in the last few weeks concerning folks that don't believe in the doctrines of grace and been pretty forceful on us about it. But the situation is this. I've not wavered as what I believe. I still believe in the doctrines of grace. I always will believe in the doctrines of grace. I have no other way to believe, because that's the Scripture. I've been called a heretic. I've been called a liar. I've been called somebody that preaches a false truth. Y'all been through this, I'm sure, you know. But the point is, I have no problem standing before the Lord on the day of judgment concerning that matter. I may have some problems concerning some other matters. Probably all of us will. But concerning that matter, I have no problem standing before the Lord on the judgment day concerning the doctrines of grace. And I'll preach it. I'll preach it. I'll preach it until He takes me home. Psalms 21. 29, I'm sorry. Psalms 29. We're talking a little bit here about peace. Psalms 29 and verse number 11. Let's read verse 10 and 11. The Lord setteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord setteth king forever. Woo-hoo! I love it, folks. I love it. And the Lord hath, or Lord will give strength unto His people. And the Lord will bless His people with peace. Amen? I like it. The Bible says that, what? The Lord setteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord setteth king forever. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 6 says, I am God and I change not. Thank the Lord. He's not a wishy-washy God. God said it, that settles it, whether we think it's right or not. And you know, in Psalms 119, verse number 89, I love that verse as well. He said, my word is settled in heaven. My word is settled. It doesn't make any difference what people say in the NIV or the American Standard Version or any other version. I think we've got the King James, and that's what I know we've got the King James, and that's what God has given us today till He comes back. I hope you all go in the Psalms, right? Psalms 119, verse 165. Asked our church that one time. I said, if I just told you to go to chapter 119, how many of you would know where to go? How many of you know where to go? How many of you might know? Oh, no, I won't embarrass nobody here tonight. Psalms 119, verse 165. Notice what it says. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Isn't that good? Great peace. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48. We sing a song, and I'm not for sure if it's in hymn books or whether it's the Bible school song or not, but it talks about peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. Is that right? I've got peace like... Well, you know the Bible talks about it in this verse? Yeah. Isaiah 48, verse number 18. The Bible says, oh, that you know now why I didn't make singing my career, right? Okay, verse 18. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened unto my commandments, then had thy peace. Let me start again, please. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. And thy seed also hath been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. And his name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. Whoa, folks, it tells us in verse 18, Oh, that thou hadst hearkened unto my commandments. That's the problem. That's the problem in our Baptist churches today. That's the problem in our country today. That's the problem in the world today. That was the problem with the nation of Israel. They did not hearken unto the Lord. And the Lord finally said, I've had enough. And He sent them into captivity. And they was there for several hundred years. You know, a lot of people blame our president for the situation that we're in. I don't blame our president for the situation that we're in. I'm not saying that President Bush has done everything that I thought he ought to do, or maybe the way that it ought to be done. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm not blaming our president for the situation that we're in. I'm blaming America because of their rebellion against God and against the Bible and against the commandments and against the teaching that God has placed forth when our country was organized and founded. Because when we started going away from the teachings of the Scripture and said, we don't need that anymore, we're going to do our own thing, problems, big problems, started in America. So it's not our president. And you get some, if I can quote, self-righteous religious leaders that says, oh, it's all President Bush's fault. No, folks. And I'll say this right from where I'm at tonight. In most cases, it's right here. It's where the problems are at. Two or three reasons. One reason, we may, as saved people, have not lived the life that we ought to have lived. The second thing is, we as saved people have not stood up for the rights that we have had, or we have. And those rights are being taken away from us because we've not taken a stand. And people say, oh, Brother Rick, can't do that. It'll hurt my business. Forget your business. Depend upon the Lord and let God take care of the situation. I'm a person today, tonight, that believes what I believe. And some folks won't fellowship with me because of that. That's up to them. I can't please God and mammon. And I think Brother Blevins mentioned that last night. Who have I got to please? I've got to please God. And if my convictions and my beliefs aren't like this brother's or this church's over here, and they don't want to fellowship with me, that's fine. That's fine. I'll go on. Let them go on. I'll go on. And try to serve the Lord. Brother Wayne, many, many times in conversation with him, he'll make the statement, I'm not going to quote it right, I know, but he says, you do what God leads you to do. And if he doesn't agree with it, then he doesn't agree with it. But he said, you do what you feel God leading you to do. I thank the Lord for brothers like that. And I'm sure Brother David's the same way. And I'm the same way. And Brother Steve and so forth and so on, all the rest of us here tonight. But we've got some brethren, we've got some churches, it's kind of the dot the I, you know, cross the T type thing. Whatever. I got one more verse I want to read. Well, no, let me look here real quick. We talked there back in Hebrews chapter 12 there a while ago about weight. Let me talk about hindrance just for a moment. I still got a little bit of time. And if you'll turn over to the book of Exodus chapter 14. I wanted to touch on this and I didn't get to it. And I pray tonight, as I have said, that this has maybe hopefully been a blessing to you, been an encouragement to you in some way. It was delivered in a Rip Cat way. It wasn't probably as smooth as Brother David's or anything. Or Brother Wayne's or whatever. I didn't have no Boudreaux jokes or anything of that nature, you know. But, you know, it's funny. God calls us to preach. And it takes all kinds of preachers to make a world or to do the Lord's work. It takes all kinds. Maybe bald-headed. You know, some of us may be good-looking. I don't see that here tonight, but you know, other than that. But anyway, Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. I love this. Oh, I love it. I pray it'll bless your heart. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." What does it say? "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." Isn't that sweet? Somebody you'd like to rack their jaws, you know. Been there. You back up and say, "Lord, that you know the situation." And you just got to back off and let him have control of the situation. Same way in many things in our life. It's just not, you know, when we're angry or something like that. One other verse I want to read. Back over in Philippians chapter 3. This is my last verse. I pray it'll be a blessing to you. I want to thank Independence for the opportunity. I've enjoyed it. I was nervous. Of course, I don't know a preacher that stands up behind the pulpit and begins to preach that isn't nervous because he's representing the Lord. But I've never been, I don't know of any time anyway when I've stood and tried to preach without being nervous. But here we are in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 14. I like this. And think on these words, folks, as we read this verse. Paul says, writing to the church at Philippi, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I press toward the mark. Gentleman Jim could have given up after that sixth round, as we mentioned a while ago. Maybe the eighth round, maybe the tenth round. We said, "No, just one more round. Just one more round." Folks, that's what we do when we continue on, when we keep on keeping on for the Lord. We press toward the mark. We step out into that ring for one more round. And as I've said, one of these days we're going to have the victory. And that's when we see our Lord coming in the air. Amen. Thank you, Brother Wayne.